You're listening to your community radio station. It's KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa. It's time for In the Garden on the Farm.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Aloha, and welcome to In the Garden on the Farm, your weekly radio program that cultivates the passion and knowledge to grow well with plants and animals. I'm your host, Paul Massey, Director of Regeneration's Botanical Garden. And on today's show, we'll investigate the enduring relationship of bees, man, and the environment, and dig into the craft of modern tropical permaculture ecology design in Hawaii. But first, we'd like to let you know that this KKCR program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with our generous underwriters.
Harvest Market Natural Foods and Cafe in Hanalei is proud to support KKCR and its Ohana, offering organic groceries and produce, a cafe featuring fresh salad bar, hot meals and soups, fresh-made smoothies, and baked goods. Located in the heart of Hanalei, Harvest Market Natural Foods and Cafe, 826-0089.
Anahola Stringed Instruments is proud to support KKCR. Mickey Sussman has been building Island Koa guitars, ukulele, and violins on Kauai since 1972. Time-honored design and special orders. Prompt and complete restoration, repair, and reforestation. AnaholaStringedInstruments.com or 822-1645.
The Kauai store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kostiles. The store has authentic Kauai products including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
Garden Island Hydro, assisting with all your aqua hydro soil growing needs. Nutrients, mediums, all-natural compost tea, lights, aquaponic and hydroponic components, and more in their 1,700-square-foot warehouse at Pui Industrial Park, Lahui. Family-owned and operated. Open Monday through Saturday, 246-4769, 246-GROW.
Yes, thank you so much to our underwriters and to you, the listeners, the donors of KKCR, lending your ears, your effort, your attention, your support, and your dollars, too. You can go to kkcr.org to make a donation, understand the breadth and depth of programming that we have here on the station. We have a lot of good talk radio. We have a lot of good music. There's so much going on that is a beautiful reflection of this community, so please consider supporting us at kkcr.org, or you can call the office number at 826-7774. This is In the Garden on the Farm. We're here until 1 o'clock. We're here to talk about our love of the Aina and our dedication to trying to return the vitality, the abundance, and today, I am very happy to be joined in studio by a couple of good friends who definitely are making strong moves in that direction over the years, and even so recently as this morning and this afternoon after we're done with the show. So I would like to introduce and welcome to the show Brother Ra, a very skilled beekeeper but also holistic ecology manager. Ra, welcome to the show.
Why, thank you so much, Paul.
And I would like to also welcome our dear friend, Mason. Mason is a permaculture designer, an ecological scientist or artist slash scientist slash practitioner. And Mason, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah. So we have been out in this beautiful sunny day here on Kauai, starting a new planting of trees, and of course we're thinking about the fruit. We just celebrated with some beautiful citrus, some Tangelo and grapefruit that we were able to eat just before we came in the studio. So much thanks to our good buddy Don on the south side, who is really good at growing that citrus. And so we're dreaming of eating this citrus, but we're also dreaming about the flowers that are going to be produced on the citrus trees that will soon be planted at a new project at Waiko Plantation that is Ra's dream child and coming into actuality right now. This is a bee sanctuary for human enrichment, but also for the bees that enrich and sweeten our lives so much. And amazingly, we haven't talked about bees in depth on The Garden Show for quite a long time, and I've been looking forward to your visit very much so we could crack open that discussion and that knowledge and learn from you.
Mm. Thank you, Paul. Yeah, it's quite the honor to be on your show today, and I'm really excited to go into the depths of holistic beekeeping.
Awesome. We are also going to hear a lot about Mason's World. I was lucky enough to meet Mason a few years back on the Big Island at Amy Greenwell Ethnobotanical Garden. I was doing a bit of an expedition trying to source different varieties of bananas for the collection there at the Food Forest, which now has spread out. And I want to give a shout out to my good friends there at Tangled Roots Farm in Molawa'a, who have established, with the assistance of Chuck at One Song Farm, have established several varieties of bananas. They just harvested their first Iholena yesterday,
nice.
Iholena Kapua. So that was really exciting to see, and just to see the establishment of many varieties there. And so at any rate, I met Mason back at Amy Greenwell, which I hear sadly is closed, at least for the time being. They're looking for somebody to buy that botanical garden. Do you know, is there an update there?
Yes, that's right. It's currently closed, but still under being maintained. And the Bishop Museum has posted it for sale, so it's a step-by-step process of finding a not-for-profit or a for-profit that wants to perpetuate the garden in the same way it's been perpetuated for the last, since about 1976, I think it was first planted.
Oh. And Mason was establishing a rare banana collection there at the garden when we first met. And since then, he has hopped over from Big Island to put his love into the land here and deepen into the community here. And so it's nice that he makes these extended visits to Kauai. One, because he's just a great guy and we love to hang out with him, but also he shows us the potential of what's possible when passion, youth, if you don't mind me saying, and the kind of youth that we would all want to continue to have in our lives, but also just a keen intellect and trying to figure out the next steps, not just repeating what's worked well for others, but putting those good ideas together to come up with new solutions. And so we'll be getting into that discussion in a little bit later on in the show. So welcome again, Mason, to the show.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
We're going to start, as we do, though, just a quick check-in with our cultural resource, the Celestial Session, our look to the heavenly skies above for inspiration and guidance on our harvesting, planting, and other garden and farming tending activities. For today, we're going to look at the Hawaiian moon for today, and this is brought to us by the 2016 Hanalei Watershed Hui Moon and Tide Calendar, and today's Hawaiian moon is Ole Kulua. Do you guys know about Ole Kulua? Well, you probably know that we're in the waning period of the moon. Following the full moon, Ole Kulua rose over Kauai at 12:20 a.m. shortly after midnight of last night, and then she reached her transit, her highest point in the sky, at 6 a.m. this morning. She actually set already at 11:40 a.m. 57% of the moon's beautiful face was illuminated when she was above. We still have some influence from that moon. The last quarter moon is coming up tomorrow at 5:17 a.m. And the ike, or wisdom, behind this particular moon, Ole Kulua, the second of three Ole moons in the waning phase of the Hawaiian moon month. And there are no planting recommendations today. It is not a time recommended for planting or fishing. It's thought that it is windy, the tide's running high. However, this is a good time for weeding, and also noted as potentially a lazy time for farmers because there's no heavy digging. Well, we were assisted by a backhoe this morning to keep some of the heaviest digging away from us, so we could be a little lazy, I suppose. But mostly, there's always stuff to do around the garden and the farm, no matter whether it's time to put roots in the soil or not. So it's great to have your guys' fresh energy there at Waikoa. Great stewards and people growing plants and farming, doing small agriculture projects already. But it's always nice when the new kids come on the block with the fresh enthusiasm and some new sort of perspective. And not only that, I mean, there's so much that comes with it, but also having what the particular piece is that you're bringing. And Ra, I must say that you are the first person, although you are not the first beekeepers on the land, you are the first to really highlight that value of creating a pollination station for the bees. Certainly, I'm sure every beekeeper thinks about the sources of nectar for their bees, but you're bringing this into a more of a public space that will serve as an educational resource for people of all ages, and I would love it if you could share your vision with us.
Oh, why, thank you so much, Paul. Yes, the pollination station, or what I like to call the honeybee and butterfly sanctuary, we're going to be focusing on the main pollinators, which are, you know, the honeybee, the Apis mellifera, and then we have the monarch butterfly, and we're also going to be focusing on the rare Kamehameha butterfly. So bringing in all the host plants and all the magical essences and minerals for all the bees, and planting it out in such a way that there'll be a sanctuary for all to enjoy here that come and visit us on Kauai.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, it seems like a really great standard to hold if you're taking care of these sensitive creatures and assuring for their needs, then you're probably doing a lot of things sort of from the ground up that respect the ecology of the space.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's sort of that ultimate expression. You think, oh, the ultimate expression is a flower. Well, what about the insect that lands on the flower? That seems even more ultimate to me.
Right, yeah. And I'm a big believer in, it's not exactly what I'm eating, it's what our plants are eating. So that super nutrition that we can put into the soil, on the earth, in the ground, to give all these pollinators the best availability for them to, you know, do their jobs, because they're so hardworking. And even, you know, I was reading a statistic the other day, Paul, and they're saying, you know, just the Apis mellifera alone, that species of honeybee, it brings in about $9 billion for the U.S. agriculture. And as we're speaking right now, you know, beekeepers from all over the United States are bringing in their hives to California to pollinate the almonds, which are a very early spring flower that are coming in. So, you know, as far as Minnesota and East Coast and Oregon and California, they all bring in truckloads of bees. And so that's one thing. I was like, are we stressing out the bees by moving them around on these big semi-trucks?
Sure.
And so I'm going to provide a sanctuary at Waikoa so the bees can have a place to do their thing, to be safe. I'm not going to be stressing them out by, oh, I need to harvest this much honey so I can make so much money. I'm just really in it for the holistic approach, and to not only complete the full circle of what you're doing, Paul, with the amazing flowers and all the seeds that you're going to be producing. So it's such a symbiotic relationship between it all. So I feel so honored just to bring in that piece.
Awesome. And on the lines of that, of the like the almond orchards in California, that's a very monocrop based system where they're shipping in the bees. And the sanctuary being created here is also a living example of how you can provide flowers and food for the bees all year round, in a sense that that's also a solution for problems we're facing, like trucking in bees just to pollinate one crop for a very short amount of time. If there's just a small amount of space left available for the right pollinating plants as a sanctuary as this, all that shipping, all that trucking, and all the disease and problems that come with it would be eliminated.
Right. Truly. And we want to send out so much respect and just calling out the beekeepers. There are so many beekeepers on Kauai who resonate so deeply with the values that you're saying, Ra. So we just want to say we see you, we know you're out there, and it's beautiful having beekeepers who are working together to ensure the safety of the bees from predators, parasites, and the stress of, you know, whatever might be causing colony collapse, the pesticides. There are so many stresses to the bees, and it's great that we live in a community here where the beekeepers, you guys are standing shoulder to shoulder in many cases with that same intention to create a safe place for them to live and flourish so that we can live with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty great. So on that note, how much are the beekeepers in your awareness working together? I know that you not only care for bees here on the beautiful Garden Island, you also have hives on Oahu, and I know that it's a tradition that's passed down. There's so much knowledge that's passed, and that's a sacred thing. So tell us a bit about the ecosystem of beekeepers and how that plays out for you in your life.
Mm. Well, I'm a big believer that there's enough opportunity for everyone to have a small hive in their garden. We've all heard about the flow hive. It's such a great concept where we can just tap the honey and come out in a jar and just, you know, put it in your jar or put it on your pancakes or just put it in your mouth, lay on your back, look at the stars. Any time of the day, you can just have honey, because for so long, it's been a very laborious process to take the honey from the bees. So I always ask, just like anything, I tune into the hive. I'll see if they're ready to be harvested at that time, and I'll just take as much so then they can expand and fill, because one thing we don't want is swarming. And so I specifically choose all of my stock of bees that have been passed down to me. I have learned from beekeepers that were beekeepers before Hawaii was even a state. So very wise elders, 60s, 70s. I was looking for the oldest beekeepers on Oahu, on Maui, on Big Island, Kauai, and I'm just picking their brain. I just, what's worked for you, what hasn't worked for you, what's your process? And after all that R&D, I've came to a conclusion that there's many, many ways to raise bees, and not one single way is particularly right or wrong. And I have my particular views on it from a collective whole, and I'm not biased. I'm open to receiving more, and I'm looking forward to going to New Zealand next year and helping out some beekeepers out there. I've installed honeybee sanctuaries in Indonesia, Bali. I was hired by the owners of Shangri-La on the North Shore of Bali. If you ever get a chance to go to Bali, I highly recommend going seeing those guys up there and go check in on the bees that I brought in there. They have beautiful floral and fauna like Hawaii has, you know, avocados and citrus and, you know, durian and mangoes and ulu and, you know, everything under the sun. and you know, got a chance to go to Australia and do another installation at one of my teachers, who she is a permaculture queen, I call her, and she was the very first class of Bill Mollison. So I got the opportunity to come do a hive installation on her grounds, which was, you know, quite the honor. So when it comes to beekeeping, I think the biggest hype is the products of the hive. So, you know, we all know the honey, but also there's the bee pollen, which I focus on. There's the propolis, which is a very, like, sticky resin that is collected from the bees, that from the trees, and they collect it, and they use it to seal the hive, and it's antibacterial, antimicrobial, antifungal. It's antiseptic if you put it in different forms. And so I make tinctures, and also I have honey for sale. So if anyone would like to contact me at kawaiibeekeeper@gmail.com, I would be very happy to provide you with honey and bee pollen. And some time of the year, I also have royal jelly.
I would love to hear about the practice of the collection of the propolis and the royal jelly, just because I've never seen those activities or procedures before. How does that work?
So usually the time I collect the propolis is when I go into the queen's chamber, and that's usually the lower part of the hive, and I'll go in there and I'll do kind of like a spring cleaning. And so I get sometimes two or three harvests a year, depending on the nectar flow and how much precipitation that we've had this year on Kauai. And so when I go into the hive, I have to clean it out. So I have my hive tool, which is, you know, the beekeeper's best friend. And it's almost like a scraping mechanism. And one thing I did learn when it comes to building homes or tiny homes for our friendly beings is to use woods that will last the test of time. So, you know, normally if you would go to Dayton or, you know, a commercial beekeeping supply store, they will supply you with pine. And it's a wood. If you paint it, you prime it, you might get, you know, 10, 15 years, maybe longer. But what I've found through studying with the old timers, or, you know, the very mature beekeepers, is that they use redwood and cedar and hardwoods and old growth. And so reclaiming those things, I found making the homes for the bees will give you something that you could pass down to your children.
Wow. Amazing. So back to collecting the propolis. It's basically gluing these sections of the box together, and then you just scrape it off.
Yeah, a beekeeping terminology or term would be, let's go break the propolis seal, the propolis. Mm. And so that would be opening up the hive, which, you know, we don't need to do all the time. And maybe when you first start beekeeping, you're like, oh, let's look inside the hive. Let's see what's going on. It's like, oh, is the queen okay? Yeah. It's like, you know, I totally understand because I get so excited about it too.
Right. It's like checking the oven. Are the cookies done? Are the cookies done? Are the cookies done?
Exactly. So when I go in there, I very carefully and lovingly collect this very deep, dark, rich, sappy substance. And I like to do it in the heat of the day because it becomes very thick and hard, and I'll be there, like, you know, scraping it. So when I'm opening up the hives, I try to do it at the very peak of the heat of that day. And so that is collected just with a scraping tool, and then I'll collect that, and then I'll ball that up, and then I'll put that aside. And then, you know, when my big season is finished, then I'll take that and I'll get it like a triple distilled organic grain alcohol, and then infuse that and then make tinctures, which is then available, which you can contact me at kawaiibeekeeper@gmail.com. And that helps grease the wheels and keep it all flowing. And, you know, beekeeping is not one of those things where you're going to get rich. You know, it's not the easiest profession. It's I really looked into that when I started off 13 years ago. I got the chance and the honor to start on Oahu, and the very first time I started beekeeping was inside of Diamond Head Crater, so Le'ahi Crater, and there was an old colonel that kept bees, and he abandoned the bees, and he wanted to continue with the apiary, which was inside of there, and that was more of a single source nectar inside of the crater because it had the kiawe, which the kiawe, as we all know, is mesquite, produces a very long bloom, almost like a macnet. And so the bees just love that. But one thing about that, it's almost like doing Bikram yoga at the yoga house in Kapa'a, or, you know, going in the sauna, infrared sauna, health mate. And so I'm in a suit, just sweating away, sweating away, sweating away. So I always bring gallons of water with me. And so that's kind of like my practice. And so I got the opportunity to learn there on Oahu. And then I took all that beekeeper capacity and knowledge and know-how. And then I transferred that over here to the beautiful island of Kauai.
Wow. Awesome. I want to let people know you're listening to In the Garden on the Farm on Kauai Community Radio. We're speaking with Brother Ra, who cares for bees in several loving locations, but one of them is up here in Kalihiwai, Ahupua'a, on the north shore of Kauai. And we see you calling in. We don't have anybody to answer the phone here in the studio. If you're trying to reach people in the office, you can reach them at 826-7774. You can call me directly after the show if you had a question, and I'll try to answer it. My number is 652-7898. This is Paul with In the Garden on the Farm. We're here until 1 o'clock. Tracy with Kauai Vibrations coming up. And we're speaking with Ra. We're talking about bees. We're going to transition or enlarge in our discussion to talk permaculture also with Mason. But right now I want to share a little PSA with you from our good buddy, Gray, who helps provide that people are not going hungry on a Wednesday in the Princeville area. So let's hear from Gray, shall we?
Church of the Pacific, providing Wednesday's free food pantry, a community garden, facilities available for events, music, craft fairs, meetings, classes, volunteer opportunities. Church of the Pacific, where community gathers. The little church with the big heart. 826-6481. ChurchOfThePacific.org.
And that's Gray, the big man with the big heart, who helps us out with so many great projects. And he's got a gleaning project, just really trying to get food into people's hands, and a super swell guy. Thanks so much to the people at Church of the Pacific who put on food pantry, the food pantry in Kilauea on a Wednesday, and all the food pantries. I gather there's over 60 on the island, making sure that people don't go hungry on our beautiful garden island. So let's keep planting food. Let's keep sharing food to the farmers. Let's keep selling food. Let's make agriculture a viable business as well as a passion, too. So loving it. And we're here speaking with Brother Ra about the bees, and he's putting together a new pollination station and a honeybee and other insect sanctuary here at Waikoa Plantation on the north shore of Kauai, Kali'iwai Ridge area. And he's being assisted by our good buddy Mason Mermo from several points, but definitely from Hawaii. This guy is sprouting straight out of the soil. And one thing I wanted to ask you, because you're doing this pollination station and focusing in on those flowering plants that can most benefit the bees, and just thinking about how much acreage it takes to actually get, say, a quart jar of honey, and how much influence can we actually have on the nutrition of bees in a planting of, let's say, an acre in size, knowing that the bees are going to maybe visit that, but maybe visit quite further. I don't know how many flowers a bee needs to visit in a day, or how many a hive needs to visit to make a quart of honey or anything like that. So I'd love to know a little bit about that.
That's a great question, Paul. And when it comes to beekeeping and the bees, they like to focus on about a 5-mile radius. So whenever I create an apiary, which I've created dozens, I really like to walk around or fly around. I've got the honor to take some classes with Preston, who is also teaching flying lessons. So I've taken a few flight lessons with him just to fly around and seeing what's going on, maybe some fences I didn't get a chance to look over, or there's few hedges. And so we got a chance to kind of look at everything. So if the neighbors are have practices that aren't in alignment with our practices, which is particularly organic farming, I like to give them healthy solutions. So let's say a fence line, for example. Maybe we would like to maintain that fence line, and the only thing to use is some type of spray. And so there could be other, solutions to maintaining that fence line. So I was part of a study also when it comes to the bees and the way they fly and what they're collecting in their nectar. And that study was with the Sierra Club, and they were testing for glyphosates. And they tested all my apiaries in Kilauea Farms, Kilauea, my apiaries in Kali'iwai, and all my honey came back free of that chemical. And that one chemical is the main ingredient in Roundup. So, a lot of agricultural, communities, especially ours, I don't think we spray much of that around that area. So it felt such a safe place to create such a amazing, beautiful sanctuary that Mason and I are creating. And when it comes to collecting of the nectar, I'm always looking for more of a biodiverse, dynamic, I always was more into the mature fruit trees. I feel like the nectar of a mature fruit tree, it produces so much, because if you think about those roots tapping deep down into the earth and then bringing all that energy and all that through the xylem and through the plants, and then coming out to the branches and then into the flowers, and then bees come and collect that, I really find that the mature fruit trees produce the most nectar for the bees. Now, if you plant, borage and sunflowers and cover crops, and if you have a lot of that going on, that, adds up also. It's like, are you collecting pennies? Are you collecting quarters? Are you collecting $100 bills? So it's just depending on your goals. So the bees really like to have a very large array of flowers to choose from. And I like to give that to my bees also. So I'm really excited about being your neighbor and all those beautiful things that you have planted and continue to plant, and with the community planting there at the Food Forest. So I'm looking forward to sharing the Waikoa Community Food Forest honey with everyone. So did I answer your question?
You did beautifully. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome, bro. So let's bring Mason into the discussion right now. Mason, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, brother. So for those of you who haven't met Mason, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you wind up on Kauai?
Well, originally, besides having some family here, I came to Kauai actually to meet you, Paul. We met at the Greenville Garden, and I was really interested in perpetuating the the varieties of the Hawaiian canoe crops. So we did some Hawaiian banana work and sugarcane work, perpetuating those varieties. And I actually spent some time in the South Pacific working on helping people transfer over from making copra coconut oil to making virgin coconut oil. And in being in the plantations down there, I noticed how much of an abundance of bees are on the coconut flowers. And coconuts are such a good resource for bees because they're always flowering, they're always fruiting. It's not seasonal, it's all year round. And I've always had a huge keen interest in bees, and actually came out here to work with Ra last winter and help him with his fall and spring harvest. And that's how I've ended up here working in Kauai now.
So cool.
Yeah.
And so the making of copra, which is really just the dried, mature flesh of the coconut, moving them into making virgin coconut oil was a process of actually getting them to press it, or how did it work that way?
Well, virgin coconut oil is made from just a mature coconut, but not a fully aged coconut. And you make coconut milk, as most of us know how to do. And then it's about a 12 to 14 hour fermentation where the oil separates from the milk and the water. And then you actually collect the virgin coconut oil off the surface. So it's very easy. People are doing it in third world villages in the South Pacific. So I'm sure everybody here at home could do it very easily.
Awesome. And do we have enough coconuts planted in the Hawaiian Islands yet?
No, we don't actually. That's a big issue because there used to actually be basically a coconut belt surrounding the islands. Coconuts are very saltwater tolerant. They can practically grow out of the ocean. And in the traditional permaculture of Hawaii and the way the Hawaiians cultivated it, we had coconuts everywhere. So now coconuts are, for one, a huge liability. The tall coconut tree at the beach can drop a coconut and injure or kill somebody. So it costs our county and our state a huge amount of money to trim these trees. And because they fruit all year round, you have to trim them at least twice a year, which is a huge expense. And actually, the state and the county have been cutting down the tall trees that are too expensive to trim. And they've been saying we can't plant coconuts anymore because the expense. So now coconuts are basically becoming a golf course commodity in a sense because they're the only ones who can afford to trim them. So I don't like to call it trimming. I like to call it harvesting because we want to be harvesting the coconuts. It actually creates a lot of issues, especially on the other islands. Kauai has so much sand on their beaches and it's so beautiful, but with the rising sea level, with water temperatures, and with everything happening in our ocean and increased storms we've been experiencing and increased surf, especially this last year, the coconuts are actually a critical element on the beach because the root systems are, in essence, like a carpet, and they hold the beach together for big storm surges, for hurricanes, and this sort of thing. So, no, there's not enough coconuts, and they're actually being taken away. I've actually been working on Big Island now for about 8 months with the state and county and cutting each line of red tape as we walk along the path together. And we're actually replanting low-bearing coconuts. Some people call them dwarf coconuts. Some people like to call them Samoan coconuts, as they're known. There's actually low-bearing coconuts of many varieties. And these coconuts are not very expensive to maintain because they're much shorter. And now we can be replanting the coconuts we need to and having a safer, lower coconut and a more productive availability for harvesting.
Great work. And how easy is it to tell with a young coconut tree if it's going to wind up being a dwarf or not?
Most of the time, you're going to end up with a true dwarf tree. The way the bees work, our tall coconut trees are usually hybridized between each other, and the dwarf coconut tree opens its male and female flowers at the same time, and the bees work each flower head. Usually they're concentrated on it. And, I mean, sometimes it's literally over 100 bees on one flower head in a coconut. It's beautiful. It's also easy to tell if it has cross-pollinated within the first 4 months of its sprouting. And that hybridization process between tall coconuts and short, low-bearing coconuts is actually a really beautiful thing, because the tall coconuts and the short coconuts, when they're hybridized, produce a very short, productive coconut tree. So for agriculture purposes, the most ideal coconut tree has been pollinated between talls and dwarfs.
Hmm. Cool. Wow. I love how much knowledge is inside your brain and it Thanks. Coming out here on the radio. So tell us about some of the projects you've been involved in. We just heard about your work with the county and state, which is really exciting.
Coastal, it's been
fun. Coastal restoration work. And I know that you've also been putting some love and energy into a formerly grand but abandoned for a while fruit orchard there on the Big Island. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, I have an exciting little project, about 17 acres that I've been managing and leased, that is a permaculture collection from the world's tropics of different varieties of fruit trees and bananas. And the exciting thing about this farm is it's actually companion planted in a way that is built for permaculture. Mm-hmm. So it's, you can imagine your fruit tree, then your nitrogen fixing tree, and in most cases would be Glorsidia because that's an easy cutting tree, and then a banana. So just even focusing on those three plants, we end up with, you know, bananas are very prolific and you're always harvesting banana racks. And that banana is also in a sense, like a well. When you are in a drought, the bananas are always full of water. So you harvest your banana rack. You can use those banana leaves and the trunk as sheet mulch, and it also provides mulch, water mulch for your fruit tree. And then you have your nitrogen fixer nearby, so then you cut that and put in the banana to keep that producing and healthy. And so it kind of works in like most mulch systems. It's better not to go back and forth between mulch. It's nice to have a three-point mulch system where you're pruning your fruit tree and you're putting that fruit tree pruning on your nitrogen fixing trees and on your bananas. You're pruning the banana, harvesting, you put that on your fruit tree. Glorsidia on your fruit tree and your banana, once the fruit tree is full grown and doesn't need that nitrogen influx, you just concentrate on your bananas. There's a lot of little detail tricks, and this is kind of called like a chop and drop companion plant system. There's many different permaculture methodologies to everything. So the farm is planted in a chop and drop agroforestry system, which is pretty fun to participate in. It's very South Pacific style in a sense.
Yeah, cool. And what are some of the fruits beyond the bananas that you guys have in that system?
Well, there's a lot of jackfruit, a lot of different varieties of jackfruit. There's a lot of different sapote varieties. I'm just thinking about the stuff I've been harvesting recently, really. there's a lot of durian trees, which is always fun. I find that people love to work for durians. And there's many different varieties of avocados and many different coconut varieties, and it's all kind of intermixed and interplanted. There's actually a lot of trees there that I've yet to identify. And it's a lot of fun, actually. I had some really great people out there 2 weeks ago and found out, like, oh, this is the true Malabar chestnut, which we've always been thinking the other tree was the Malabar chestnut. And so I'm still learning. There's so much to it, and there's a lot of these plants is one or two in Hawaii, so it's fun to get to learn about new plants and have this array of biodiversity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that true Malabar chestnut, just saw a beautiful specimen at the Princeville Botanical Garden. Michael Wise put in the ground, and it's huge already.
Because they get big fast.
He digs big holes and puts lots of good stuff in them, and just a beautiful garden. As a side note, probably next week we'll be doing a feature on Princeville Botanical Garden. Krista and I were lucky enough to get a tour from Heidi on staff there, and then spend some time with Bill and Lucy Robertson, the owners and the mastermind of Michael Wise. in collaboration with those guys, have created a most beautiful garden. Have you guys been to Princeville Botanical Garden yet?
No, I always hang out in your botanical garden.
Okay. Yeah, yours is the best, Paul. Come on.
Uh-oh. Well, I better not encourage you to go there, because I'm not sure you'd come back to our humble little project. But it is a beautiful thing, and we will be taking a trip. Bill's going to be offering a special Kama Aina rate for the month of April. So we'll let you know all about that next week. And... gosh, we're here talking permaculture, and it's so exciting when we have people coming from different places and spaces and sort of pollinating, coming in like bees and pollinating new information or new ideas. And you guys have touched down after some travels and putting energies into different projects. And we, although you've been at the edge of the food forest, we haven't really done a walkthrough. I'm really excited to do that with you soon so that you can give me some tips and maybe a couple pats on the back of, don't worry, just try again. Things that didn't exactly work out as planned, but...
we'll bring our chainsaws.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, we really, really, really like volunteering our time there on Saturdays at what time?
Sure, so the Saturday, thank you for asking. Saturdays at the Food Forest in Kalihiwai is 8:30 to noon, and then 2:30 to 5. And we do have a tremendous amount of mulch piled up at various points of the forest. And the mission now is to get it into the forest. So if you want to come play with us and you could even bring a wheelbarrow, we do have some on site, but it'd be great for multiple wheelbarrows. Our good buddy Rob Cruz has been bringing his own wheelbarrow over the last couple of weeks. So if you have a favorite tool like that, bring it along. And... we're getting ready for Earth Day Rising, Malama Kauai's annual celebration of Earth Day, coming up on Sunday, April 24th. You can find out more information about that event at malamakauai.org. And we're going to spend time in the food forest, talk about mulch and nitrogen-fixing plants. Will you guys be around for that, timing-wise, April 24th?
Yeah, we won't miss it for the world, right?
All right.
I'll probably be here.
Okay. Sounds really good. So other permaculture adventures or things that are in your mind or heart you want to talk about today?
I really like the idea of connecting permaculture and bees. We want to be providing as much flowers, and we want to be providing as much flowers year-round. We want to provide a safe haven for the bees and the insects. So, you know, everybody can do a little part on their own. And as we get more involved, people can actually come learn how to make pollinator sanctuaries in their own yards and their homes. And, you know, the schools are getting involved, and it's going to be a really beautiful thing. And I really encourage people to really learn the ecology of their island, and learning how this island ecology functions before people were here, how the island ecology works, what the watershed is, what the water table is. Learn about erosion is something everybody should have on their agenda, because it's such a huge issue for Kauai, especially the effects it has on our coral reefs. And if you're looking to do something on your land, looking to get into some permaculture design, it's really important to look at how you're harvesting your own sunlight, how your own weather is working, how your water is, what your water resources are, and how you can harvest water on your land, what the systems are. So there's a lot of beauty in it, and there's a lot of beauty in just looking at the ecology of the island and really taking the time to, like, that was one of my main focuses in permaculture, is how did the Hawaiians actually farm? How were they one of the best examples of food production, living harmoniously with nature, in the world? And that's that agriculture is, in a sense, living harmoniously with nature. So that's something we should really be striving for in the definition of agriculture, is how are we part of that circle? Because we really aren't separate. No matter how much we separate ourselves, we're completely part of that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, when it comes to permaculture, a lot of people think it's just like chopping, dropping, mulching, you know, keep it all in and creating systems, you know, and allowing everything to kind of encompass themselves, and it's producing, you know, everything it needs in that, you know, site or in that area. But it's like Mason was saying, it's much larger, you know. It's like which way the wind blows, which way the sun, who's your neighbors, what's downstream, what's upstream, you know. So, you know, all these things. So I'm a big believer when it comes to everyone coming together, and there's enough for everyone, and the collective, we're so powerful when it we're on that same page, and just creating more food, more opportunity, more abundance in such a loving way, creating, you know, healthy communication, and then really examining, you know, how you're spending your time. Because I hear a lot of people say, oh, I don't have time to grow my own food. I don't have time to plant that papaya seed I just ate. And it's like, well, that's a great question to ask yourself, you know. So with time management, you know, we're all very busy and, you know, taking care of everything that needs to be taken care of. But, you know, just spending a little time to even study permaculture, or contacting, you know, brilliant minds like Mason or yourself, Paul, and coming to, you know, the Saturday fun day there at the Kauai Food Forest.
Yeah, it's really such a win-win when you start your own gardening, because you're working out, you're doing yoga, you're getting your outdoor time, and it's a bit of meditation, and you're eating healthier. I mean, it's really, you don't have time for gardening, really, actually. Once you get involved, you got it all in one. It's great.
I want to say I'm especially grateful that you guys have come in when you have, because sometimes when the plate seems really full, it seems like extending beyond what you think you need to do is just too much. But sometimes extending that effort just comes back. It either comes back in sort of a slower phase or a quicker phase. But you guys have given me an opportunity today and over the past week, and for some time in the future, I hope, to jump in together, as so many of us who care for the land here on Kauai dream about, wow, what if we all showed up and boom, and then we went to the next person's place. Well, you guys have shown up with a little bit of a opportunity for me to extend in your direction. You guys are extending back in my direction in terms of effort, expertise, equipment, just, you know, good heart-based energy. And sometimes when you give, you get back more than you think you might, and faster than you think you might. So
always
for the rest of the day, myself, Mason, and Ra are going to be collaborating on various projects here in the Kilauea area, tending the land, caring for the plants, the animals, the bees, and each other, and our family, our loved ones. It all radiates out, and you've really raised my spirits by swinging in or buzzing in to my life lately, and I'm just going to savor that time as long as it can last. So thank you guys both so much for coming into the show.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
We certainly have only scratched the surface in our discussions, which will continue off-air today. But I hope that you'll both consider coming back again. There are obviously many topics to explore together in the garden on the farm related to agriculture, regenerative farming, gardening, and just our adoration of this beautiful island is shared by us all. So keep a lookout for us, and the next time you spread honey on your toast, or that's my favorite way to do it, maybe stir it into your tea, or you just pour it on the palm of your hand and lick it off. Think of Ra, and think of all the great beekeepers here, so many great beekeepers, who have radio programs here, so many people tending the bees and thinking, of course, if you're thinking about caring for the bees, you're thinking about caring for the land and all that it encompasses. So final contact information for both of you?
The best for me is through email. I'm Mason, M-A-S-O-N, 1502 at gmail.com, specializing in permaculture design.
Hmm. Awesome. And once again, I'm Kawaii Beekeeper at gmail.com and also on Facebook, Kawaii Beekeeper, and Instagram, Kawaii Beekeeper. Looking forward to friending you and answering any of your questions. Aloha.
Yes, it's Brother Ra, and it's Mason, and this is Paul signing off. We'll see you again next week for more stimulating conversation on our relationship with the life of the land that gives us life. Much love to you all, and you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284 AL Haleiwa, and K224 CQ Anahola. Stay tuned for Kauai Vibrations with Tracy, followed by the Pupule Show with Shaka Keaka, and many more good programs coming to you live. Love you. Aloha.